Sisters and brothers, in the name of our one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. It was just 2 weeks ago that we heard from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus sending out his disciples, sending them out two by two into surrounding villages. And he sent them out to evangelize. That's a word that hopefully is becoming less scary in the Episcopal Church. He sent them out to proclaim the good news, to teach and to listen, to care for others, to build relationships. And this very well was a new experience for them, as it would be maybe for us. Even more so, the disciples, you know, were, I don't know, common folk, I guess you could say, fisher people, and a tax collector was thrown in there. And Jesus sent them out to evangelize, but the way Jesus sent them out, as we heard 2 weeks ago, they were totally dependent on the goodwill of others, on those who would receive them. And so this was quite different, probably, than anything else they had ever done. It doesn't take much to imagine then that they were stretched by this experience, that they were well outside of their comfort zones, and they were probably physically just tired. And now the story picks up. They gather around Jesus, or as some translations put it, they return to Jesus. And that simple phrase to me says a lot. It called out to me again and again this week. The disciples return to their source of spiritual nourishment after having been out and about proclaiming God's good news. They take time with Jesus, which is also time to reflect on the ministry that they just carried forward. They don't just go from one thing to the next. They reflect. And so I wondered for myself, what might returning to Jesus look like for me? What might returning to Jesus mean for each one of us? In the busyness of our day-to-day, of our week-to-week, what might it mean? What are the possibilities? What could this mean to intentionally set aside time, to carve out even just moments, to return to Jesus? To return to Jesus in the many forms and ways that that might take for each one of us, especially in our culture of hyperactivity, myriad distractions, which I spoke a little bit about a month ago. This is not easy. This is not as simple as it might sound to take space. It takes effort. And yet, if we do not do this, if we continue to be swept from one thing to the next, although we certainly will stay very active, we move further and further away from our source, from our foundation, from our own spiritual nourishment, and even from ourselves, and from what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be. We can easily lose sight of why we do what we do in the first place. There is something more in this story that called out to me this week. What we heard last week, while the disciples were away, so the disciples, Jesus sends them out, they're away evangelizing, going to village to village. Jesus found out that his cousin John had been killed. John had been beheaded by King Herod. And now they come back together and they've all been through a lot in different ways. And they are so busy now, Mark goes out of his way to tell us, they don't even have time to eat. In the middle of all of this, in his wisdom, and I think it is wisdom, Jesus knows when to stop. Jesus knows when to take space from what sounds like frenetic activity, compounded by grief, and care for himself and care for his disciples. And so, as Mark says, he beckons them to get away together to a deserted place, or other translations, a lonely place. Loneliness we often think of as a negative thing, but this is more solitude, life-giving solitude. The only way they do that in this particular instance is what many people do in our area. They go out on a boat. They go out on a boat. I realized this week that I often have this picture of Jesus. I think of Jesus as being very active, constantly engaged with people, never stopping, never taking a break, continuing to just stay the course. And yet this isn't based on the Gospels at all, this picture I have of Jesus. Why do I even think that? Because it's just not true. I tend to forget all the times when he is taking time apart. And in the Gospels, there are many, both by himself and with his disciples, in a boat, as he does today, on a mountain, in a garden, in the wilderness. And I realize then that I can, and I need to, learn a lot from Jesus's example. As he seeks those moments of rest and restoration, both for himself and for others, for those who follow him. That's us. In the midst of the many forces within us and around us, which prevent us from doing so, and there are many, we are reminded of the need to set aside time to, as Mark puts it, come away with Jesus to a deserted place. That deserted or lonely place, it could be different for each one of us. In some cases, it may be more metaphorical. Fine, that's totally fine. It might be literally a place where we are truly alone, as Jesus does at times. How we do it, I don't think, is as important as that we actually do it. In whatever form it might take, that we need, that we take these intentional moments where there is nothing to distract us. A place deserted, maybe, by Wi-Fi. A place deserted from email and voicemail. Deserted from Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and Twitch and I'm sure I could go on. A place deserted where there is no Fox News or MSNBC to constantly outrage us. A deserted place. This is a spiritual practice. This is a spiritual practice to reconnect and renew and reflect. To change the pace, change the scene, change what's going on in our own minds. And it's not just a Christian practice, though it is. It's not just a faith-based practice, it's a human practice. It's a practice that allows us to continue to remain whole. There's one other thing from the Gospel of Mark. I know it's all about me this morning. That stuck out for me as I read over and over again this gospel. Their time away, this time, seems short-lived. And you might think it's perverse, but I actually found this to be refreshing. Even Jesus's well-made and well-intentioned plans, sometimes they fall through. We probably can all relate to that. Here, Jesus's plans fall through for the sake of compassion. And if your plans are going to fall through, that's a really good reason to have it happen. Yet what called out to me was that, at least I see, or I interpret it, that Jesus lived within a space that we also live within. That space between self-giving and self-care. between active service and necessary activity and prayerful solitude. And I think Mark this morning invites us to live within that space as well. What might be a creative tension? To include our spiritual and our physical and our mental and our emotional care with our work and our service and our needful activity. To go out into the world like those disciples do, and like we surely are called to do as well. And to take time with Jesus for our nourishment and renewal. With the Gospel of Mark this morning, let us hear God's good intentions for us. As we pay attention to Jesus' words inviting us to come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Amen.